From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We have got a great show for you this week. But first, I wanted to share a true story with you. George Bush's favorite painting, which he has hung in the Oval Office, is called A Charge to Keep. It's a lovely oil painting of a cowboy who, mind you, looks a little bit like George Bush, according to the president himself, and he's riding over a ridge in an obvious hurry. Mr. Bush tells people that the figure in the painting is a Methodist evangelist who, in history, brought the good word to people out there in the West. Well, Jacob Weisberg, author of a new book about President Bush, researched the history of that painting and found out that that story is completely untrue. The horseman in the painting is actually a horse thief running from a lynch mob. True story. Further proof that the real news will beat us at our own game. Back to you. Call us up. Play our games. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi. Hi. This is Joan Koenig in Oak Park, Illinois.
Yeah, Oak Park, a town I know well, a beautiful suburb outside Chicago. Tell you what, Joan, let us get right to it. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to comedian Paul Prevenza.
Hello, Joan.
Hello.
Also say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column is Roxanne Roberts.
Hey, Joe.
Hello.
Also say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and the author of Moving the Chains, Tom Brady and the Pursuit of Everything, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hello.
Hi, Joan.
Joan, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off this week with Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. If you correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine.
All right.
Ready to play?
Yes.
Some people sounded surprised by that, and I'm like, you have heard this show, right? Or were you not able to get tickets for Wicked? It ended up here instead.
Well, it is cold outside.
It is cold. So. Maybe they just ducked into the nearest warm doorway and found us. Okay, that's fine. Glad you're here. All right, Joan, back to you. Here's your first quote.
World clenches buttocks.
That was the headline on New York magazine this week, describing the global mood as what went on a roller coaster ride this week.
The stock market.
Exactly. The financial markets worldwide, in fact. On Monday, a national holiday here, the world financial markets went crazy. Traders in Seoul, South Korea, frustrated. Their exchanges in a one-story building just kept jumping out the same window over and over again. In London, the FTSE index lost dozens of basis points based on concerns that it had a funny name. All of this, of course, was due to fears that the U.S. economy was about to completely collapse. And then on Tuesday, Ben Bernanke swooped in, cut rates before the stock market opened. It plummeted, and then on Wednesday, the stock market came back. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Financial experts advise investors to hedge their bets, to maintain long-term investments in blue-chip equities, but also to fatten their household pets in case of food shortages.
That's great, because I put my ATM card in the machine this week and got a live chicken back out of the slot.
I know.
That's great.
It was a little
Can I have change for a muskrat, please? Can I have two ferrets for a muskrat?
It was a little crazy when the market opened on Tuesday. People were like, it's over. It's over. Get your Apple carts ready, because it's like the depression is here, and then it didn't happen.
That would be the Apple iCarts.
Exactly. That's the difference. Yeah.
But they're really small
exactly.
Apples.
The batteries don't last. All right, Joan, here is your next quote.
I know you think it's crazy, but I kind of like to see Barack and Hillary fight.
That was one of the weirder statements this week from a man who seemed not only to enjoy that fight, but to throw a bunch of low blows himself in it. Who is fanning the flames over on the Democratic side?
Bill Clinton.
Yes, indeed. So, as everybody's been saying for a while, with President Bush's approval ratings in the sewer and dissent in the GOP ranks, it's absolutely impossible for the Democrats to lose the 2008 election. Wait, this just in. Ladies and gentlemen, shocking news. Some kind of horrible creature has been trampling over the media, overshadowing his own wife, depressing and dividing his own party, voraciously eating cheeseburgers. We've got some jittery video footage of the creature taken by some hip New York partygoers. Oh my God, it's the former president of the United States of America! To counteract him on this rampage through the Democratic campaign, the scrappy band of survivors in the Obama campaign have come up with a last-ditch, desperate plan. They've picked the most attractive women among them to put on a beret and go deliver a pizza to him.
Don't you think that maybe he's just happy that somebody else is fighting with Hillary? Takes the heat off, you know.
It has been a very weird week as President Clinton has completely thrown aside that whole sort of post-presidential demeanor and dignity and just gone after his wife's opponent with some avidity.
He seems like a high school student who graduated and then just goes back to hang out.
And everybody's like, dude, you're 28. You really should. Very good, John. Here's your last quote.
If I become iridescent from it, I become iridescent from it. I'll glow in the dark.
That was a New Yorker.
I'm guessing it's Upper East Side.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's 1686.
Carl actually went back to the Dutch period, yeah. Colonial New York, for that accent.
Peter Stuyvesant.
Exactly. Anyway, telling the New York Times, that New Yorker did, that she's not going to let news of unsafe levels of mercury stop her from eating what?
Oh, I have no idea.
Thermometers!
Sushi?
Sushi, yes, very good.
Thermometers.
When they told us that spinach was infected with E. coli, we gave that up. That was hard. Coffee was bad for us. We went to decaf. But now they're telling us our tekamaki will kill us? Now they've gone too far. They cannot deny us our sushi, the one food that allows people to eat healthy and still feel like a snob. But the FDA this week announced that they had tested tuna samples from sushi restaurants and fish stores around New York. In every case, they contained so much mercury, you could take your temperature with them. People have become so desperate that in certain cases in New York City, particularly in the Village, they've started breaking the windows of sushi restaurants and just eating the plastic fake ones in the window. Sad. Carl, how did Joan do in our quiz?
Joan was perfect, Peter. She had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on her home answering machine.
Well done, Joan.
Yay. Thank you.
Congratulations. We want to remind everyone that they can join us just about every week here at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, you can go to chicagopublicradio.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org.